Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And we've got Jeff Winninger on the show, retired LAPD commander, retired as a lieutenant. He's also the author of the upcoming book, On Thin Ice. You get more information at onthinicebook.com. Jeff's got an announcement today. And he's going to refresh your memory on the release date on the book and tell you how the contest he has going is working and stuff. But first, let me go to our sponsors. We have Gauls, our title sponsor at Gauls.com. Also, ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live. We got Safeguard Recruiting. And thanks to them, we're streaming to 1.5 million people right now. TwoBells.com, they built their new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. And FishOrlandoBass.com. And it's great. It's in Orlando. When you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney, drop them off and head over to see Zach at fishorlandobass.com. He has bass fishing charter. It's a great time. And if you're feeling very adventurous, you can do the alligator hunting. You're going to catch and release alligators, if you can believe that. Welcome to Florida. So hook up with Zach at fishorlandobass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns at Tampa Free Press, tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Brian's also getting our content on MSN or who knows? I don't even, what are they? They're calling themselves something different now. MSNBC. I can't remember the new name. It's really nothing really noteworthy. But anyhow, I shouldn't talk too bad because they're carrying our content. Also, shout out to Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Shates, lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And let me go in and whet the appetite before we go into the announcement from Jeff. Here's what we're going to be talking about today, guys. We have an update story. Man fatally shot himself with a Mercy Health police officer's gun. So it sounds like a officer, they're saying it's a police officer, so I don't know if Mercy Health, if they got their own like miniature police force or not, but apparently they got the gun from the cop. I have some questions about the cop. I'd love to see a picture. I'd like to know whether it's a male or a female, and I just would like to see a picture. I think that will probably answer a lot of the questions I have, and without saying too much. Also, Austin police release a video after detectives fatally shoot a burglary suspect, and then we've got body cam video released in a Walmart machete attack that injured a Fort Pierce police officer. That's down here in my neck of the woods. LAPD, Jeff's neck of the woods, they shoot an armed suspect who points a gun at an officer during a foot chase, and we've talking about these foot chases and why you guys at LAPD do it the way you guys do with the more than one officer. Man with a large hatchet fatally shot by Phoenix police officers outside of an IHOP. And then we got Port St. Joe, that's up in the panhandle of Florida. Officers shoot a woman who advances on them with a knife. Apparently, the public did not like that, and they got into a little argument with the chief about that, or the sergeant, whoever pulled the trigger on that. So, but before we get into the stories, Jeff, unmute that microphone, and let's talk about On Thin Ice. And I think you have an announcement to make, too.
Yeah, well, On Thin Ice is going to be officially released on Tuesday, September 16th. And if you go to onthinicebook.com, you can sign up by putting in your email to be on the email list. You can read the prologue for free. But most importantly, by entering the email list, you become eligible to win the VIP swag box, which contains a hardcover copy of the book, as well as some other gifts that are influenced by the book. So all you have to do is sign up once and you'll be eligible for every drawing. And then those will be mailed out shortly after the release date on September 16th. So that's a benefit for all.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And again, the announcement on the winner is?
The winner, we announce it on Thursday. Today is Thursday, so I will announce it. And the winner is.
Is there a test after this? Am I? I don't want to fail the test, dude. Don't put the pressure on me.
The winner is Betty Dunn.
Betty Dunn. Wow. Betty's going to be so excited and happy. So I hope Betty's watching the show right now. So congratulations to Betty Dunn. And can you just repeat again what Betty's won?
Betty has won the VIP swag box, which contains a signed hard copy of the book, as well as some other gifts that are influenced by the book. So wow. I will be contacting her, get her address. So I can mail that out just after the 16th.
Beautiful. You know, Betty's a big fan of the show and fans of us. So, yeah, she's going to be so excited. So yeah, that is great. So, and we have two, right as we're doing the show, we've got people entering the Two Bells contest as well. We've got Sergeant George and Betty Dunn. Love you, Jeff. I'm not feeling the love, Betty, right now. You're saying you love Jeff. And then we got, Deborah Easel enters the Two Bells contest. But, so Betty Dunn is watching. She's all excited. I guarantee you. And I told you that she got her local library to order at least two of your books. So, already. So good deal. So congratulations, Betty. Thanks for watching the show. Let's go ahead and get into it, guys. Our first story, WFMJ.com. Man fatally shot himself with Mercy Health police officer's gun. I got some questions. So the Youngstown Police Department, so they're different from Mercy, but they're doing the investigation, but they've released new details about the shooting that occurred last week at St. Elizabeth Youngstown Hospital. Now, according to the news release from the department, the incident was on Thursday and it ended up being a suicide. In the release, police state that around 11:30 in the morning, so just before 12 noon, on Thursday, August the 28th, officers are called to assist Mercy Health Police with a shooting inside a restricted area in the ER. A 33-year-old male identified as the victim disarmed a Mercy Health Police officer who was conducting a routine check of the ER, the emergency room. Now, the individual then used the officer's weapon to inflict a self-harming wound to kill themselves. The man died despite receiving immediate medical attention. So the Youngstown Police Department, they've taken the lead in the investigation into the disarming of the officer. So, again, it wasn't their officer, and the case remains open. Wow. So I throw this in because, you know, it should give us all pause. Everybody that carries a gun, and of course, when you're going to the ER and you're just doing a check, you know, you're armed, you're in uniform, and everybody knows you're carrying a gun, right? It kind of changes the, you know, from when you're plain clothes and carrying a gun, no one knows. But this is one of the things that can happen when you're in uniform and everybody knows that you're armed. You know, there are people that are going to want to go for your gun if they think they can take you. Jeff Winninger.
Yeah, you know, it's really important that police officers keep in mind that there's always a gun at every incident that they respond to, because they have a gun. And, you know, early on in my career with LAPD, you could have these swivel holsters, which basically, kind of a cowboy low-hanging swivel, mm-hmm. and essentially the retention level is zero. You have one snap and you know the gun's out. You know, it's just really important that officers, you know, use like a level 3 retention type holsters, you know, at least, and then you have to practice a couple thousand times before everything becomes muscle memory, so you don't have an issue drawing the firearm. But, you know, the reality is back when with the LAPD, when I used to deal with officer involved shootings all the time, we were looking at data not only within our organization, but nationwide. And the data shows that generally speaking, year in and year out, it's between 5% and 10% of officers that are shot and killed are killed with their own firearm. So wow. It is a pretty prevalent thing. You know, the reality is, you know, my thought was, you know, police officer, whoever, an officer who's motivated to work in a environment of a hospital versus being a police officer that's out in the streets, it makes you have a whole different mindset. And, you know, I think that perhaps kind of played into it, but, you know, it's really important that it's about being able to maintain, you know, possession of your weapon retention. And, you know, we used to train in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because a large percentage of any altercation in law enforcement will go to the ground within 20 seconds. And, you know, it's there that you have to worry about your gun, and you're at a disadvantage because you need to generally use one hand to cap your weapon, and you're then fighting the rest of the fight with your only remaining hand. So you're at a disadvantage. People need to take this stuff seriously.
But, no doubt.
I agree. I think a lot would probably be said based on the physical fitness level of the person that we would see that this happened to, their stature, you know, even uniform appearance plays into this. Now, you know, the other thing that came into mind was, wow, this must be a real bad hospital, because to want to kill yourself rather than be treated, you're you're in pretty bad condition. So But Youngstown is, people oftentimes say Youngstown is the armpit of the state of Ohio.
Oh, really? You know, I tried to get a picture of our cop, and I have some suspicions, which I'm not going to say on the air, but I tried to get a picture. And then while I'm Googling this, I hate Google. I use DuckDuckGo because Google just takes out, they're really so anti law enforcement and conservative. It's ridiculous. So you lose a lot of data by going through Google. But anyhow, when I was trying to find an online search, there was more than one gun situation like this at this hospital. And the other one was, I think, 2018. And we're coming up on a commercial break, and we're going to have to bolt. But hey, stick with us, guys. We got some more stuff coming up. Commercial break. We'll be right back. Here we go. All right, guys, let's talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And then when you throw the online mix into it, the choices are almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting our title sponsor, and that is Gauls at Gauls.com. And why do I say that? It's because they support law enforcement. And there's a lot of companies that say they do, but do they actually support law enforcement? I mean, even the motto that Gauls has is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up our family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends as well. Actually, you know, we're supposed to be giving away one today, a new Gauls gift card. So type in Gauls on the stream and go to Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. Of course, my favorite product they have is called the Glove. But in talking about Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary, you know, CD3, and CD3 stands for Conductor Distraction and De-escalation, you know, technology. And it is it's really a great product. And I'm just trying to get my little thing to come up here. So there we go. Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. They're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing the CD3. And of course, their flagship product, like we already mentioned, is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, I said no injuries. They have achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, they virtually have eliminated that. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com and tell them that Chip sent you. Make sure you watch the cool videos as well of the application of this product. It is amazing. It's going to lower liability for agencies and law enforcement around the country. ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander, Lieutenant Jeff Weninger. And we've been talking about a hospital officer who had a gun rustled away in the ER. And the bad guy luckily didn't shoot the cop, but just shot himself. And, you know, I'm thinking that a cop working for a hospital or for a medical facility, and I still don't know, there's no medical facility or outlet that's going to have a police force or have a sworn position to be able. So I don't know how that works where they're at, but I suspect that normally it wouldn't be an officer in that position would be there because they couldn't get a job somewhere else. Maybe a bigger, better agency is what I would normally be thinking too. So I really can't wait to get the, and if there's a video on this, I'm dying to see that as well. So,
you know, there's got to be a video on it, because if generally hospitals have security cameras all over the place. Yeah. So it had to have been captured. But, you know, the other issue that this brings to light is it should have been an officer involved shooting. And what I mean by that is if a suspect is able to overpower you for your weapon, you, as long as your policy or your organization allows you to carry it, you need to have a backup gun. And, you know, there's no question what you have to do then. You know, I always carried a backup gun in my back pocket and a 2-inch revolver. And, you know, you need to have them first and foremost, and then you need to practice drawing them from all kinds of different positions, generally, oftentimes training while you're laying on the ground, because that's more times than likely the position you'll be in when you lose possession of your firearm in a confrontation. But yeah, that was the other thing that stuck out, that they obviously don't have one, either the ability per policy to carry a backup weapon, or two, this individual chose not to, or three, it just they never trained and it didn't even occur to them to go to a backup gun.
Good point. Good point. And guys, before we move on to the next door, I am seeing people entering the Two Bells contest. And I know we've got Sergeant George. I have your email address. Deborah Easel and the others. I need your email address if you're going to enter the Two Bells contest by typing the number 2 and the letter B in. You're halfway there. I need to get your email address. I have no way to give you the gift card code or the digital Gauls card if you enter that contest unless I have an email address. So please make sure you type that in. And Jeff, you ready to move on to the next story with a video component? All right. So moving right along, guys. I've got some, I stack these stories in the order of sensationalism. I'll be honest with you guys, you know. And so as I'm grabbing stories the day before, it's like playing musical chairs. You know, when I get one that's better than the one I had, you know, I just kind of move it up the stack. So rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And This Is Butter's been working overtime. Oh my gosh. When I went in to yesterday evening to start grabbing stories, oh my gosh, the stories, the videos that are out there, ridiculous. And I don't know, this usually happens over the weekend, but it happened over Wednesday. And so Austin police released a video after detectives fatally shoot a burglary suspect. So we're in Austin, Texas, and we have body cam footage. It's from Tuesday showing three detectives fatally shooting a burglary suspect at a South Austin business, and it happened last week. So it happened on August the 28th. The shooting killed Raymond Lee Howard, 33 years old. He was a bad guy, but it injured a bystander, Fernando Martinez. And I swear, Jeff, and I know you're the same way, as I was watching this thing unfold and go down, I knew what was going to happen. You got cops with guns out. And you see this, what, anyhow, I'm going to get to it. So anyhow, our civilian tackles the bad guy because he drew a weapon during an undercover operation. So, you know, they say it's an undercover operation. The only person I really saw in the video that could have been the undercover, in my mind, would have been the civilian that ended up tackling the bad guy. So I thought maybe he was an undercover cop, but then they're giving his name out. Then I thought if it was a CI, they wouldn't have put his name out there. So I have some, it was an undercover operation and they're doing a buy, but I just had some questions about all that. But body camera video shows detectives, they're entering the business. Now these guys are, it's kind of like it's almost like a raid. They're going in, they're swarming a bad guy and they're trying to buy stuff from him. And so they're telling him to get on the ground. Our bad guy, Howard, instead, he starts backing up from these armed guys coming in with their guns out, and he's backing up towards Martinez, who's this dude standing up along against the wall by the register. And our bad guy pulls a handgun out from a bag, and then our Martinez guy, because this guy's backing up to him away from the cops, he physically engages, grabs him, and they both go to the ground. Cops have already got their guns out, and you hear somebody yell, one of the cops yell, "He's got a gun," and then they light him up. Well, the good guy and the bad guy are like this. They're like, you know, they're in the throes of love on the floor, right? And so they both end up getting lit up. Bad guy, luckily, is the one that dies, but they both go to the hospital. And they ended up, it says that they don't know if the good guy got hit with a bullet from the bad guy's gun or the police officer's gun. I can answer that question probably with pretty good validity. But Jeff, why don't you weigh in on this one?
Yeah, from a tactical standpoint, I'm not quite sure what they were trying to achieve, because just storming in there as they did, you know, they had the circumstance where it was going to play out the way it did. I mean, actually watching it was kind of like, I've watched this film before, because yeah, you can anticipate what was going to actually happen. I'm there with you, Chip, on that one.
They were supposedly attempting to purchase stolen goods from this bad guy named Howard. That's what I wanted our audience to know what it was. So he was supposedly a burglar, I believe, and they were there, and someone was going to be purchasing the stolen goods from him. But when they raided, the only person there next to him that I saw was the civilian. So,
yeah, I mean, it's always a good practice to, if you're going to do an undercover type of operation, have some eyes on inside. that can give the officers that are going to be coming in some information. And the reality is whether you're doing an undercover type operation or you're in uniform and you're doing a pedestrian stop on some observation that you've seen, it's, you want to control the environment in which you're going to be operating in. And they didn't do a very good job of controlling it. And this thing could have ended worse than it actually did. You know, fortunately, no officers were injured, and this innocent individual didn't lose his life. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's a better way of handling this thing.
Yeah, I'm Austin, Texas. You know, I'm a little surprised, but look, this is a we all make mistakes, and if anything can be learned, hopefully they're doing deep reach and learning and planning to do better. And we can learn from watching videos like this too. Guys, we're up for a second commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions and their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards. They hit the website last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customers, which means you guys can start getting your hands on this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, that is AeroPrecisionUSA.com. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Weninger as well, author of the upcoming book, On Thin Ice, at OnThinIceBook.com. I'm nailing that today. Wow, look at that. The energy drink's working. Jeff, any more commentary on the story with the video component that we just covered? Do you think that we sufficiently beat that officer down? All right.
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right, so let's go. Rumble.com. This is Butter again, our favorite channel. Body cam video released in a Walmart machete attack that injured a Fort Pierce police officer. So Fort Pierce in Florida, we actually had a, and I don't know if she's still there, former police major with my agency, Tampa, was the chief. I don't know if she still is or not down there in Fort Pierce, but police have released the body cam video after Saturday night's machete attack at the Walmart. Of course, we are talking Walmart, right? That left one officer injured and a suspect in custody. Guys, this goes down so fast. It's just a perfect example on how quickly things can go bad. According to a statement issued by the Fort Pierce Police Department, officers responded to multiple 911 calls around 9 o'clock in the evening, August the 30th, and they were about a guy walking through the store with a machete. Witnesses said that it was a chaotic scene as the shoppers started to flee in panic. And officers quickly located the suspect. He's 33 years old. Lawrence Fountain is his name. And he was near the exit of the store. He's inside pushing a shopping cart. And he had a machete in the upper compartment, you know, the seat where you put the kid, that's kind of like where the machete was at. So body cam video shows that when the officers approach him, one of the officers grabs onto this dude. He reaches into the seat, the child seat on the shopping cart. And then I mean, you don't know. I mean, other than reading the title and knowing in advance that it's a machete, until he pulls that thing out of that child seat, you don't know what it is. And then you see him swinging at the officer and nail the officer in the arm. Man, it was like a brutal attack. So he swings it violently at the officer, strikes him in the forearm. The officer, they say, redirects the attack, but he pretty much is able to get the guy on the ground, disarms him. It appears to me, Jeff, that the guy was momentarily unresponsive when he hit the ground, but then he kind of came to, I guess, when they were handcuffing him. But they take him into custody. So Fountain, the bad guy, sustained minor injuries. He's treated before being booked, and the injured officer went to a local hospital. He's since been released. It doesn't say how, you know, the extent of his injuries, But I mean, look, you know, judging by the whack that I saw, you know, it had to have been substantial. I have a little note here that we had four cops there when this thing goes down. We had a long gun, which impressed the heck out of me. We had two pistols and we had a dude with a taser out when this is going on. So just to kind of set the stage for people that are trying to visually put themselves when this stuff's going on. And this is right when the guy is leaving the, you know, the automatic doors and leaving the Walmart store. So Jeff Winninger.
I think it's important that officers keep in mind that you have to respond accordingly in regards to the information that you have prior to your arrival. And the fact that they had knowledge that he was being reported to be armed with a machete, I actually watched it a couple times at the point that they make initial contact with him, because it appeared to me that perhaps a machete, it was in plain sight, but I believe it was in a sheath. But he was able to draw that thing out and, you know, use it against the officer. You know, I don't think I would encourage anybody to go hands on somebody when they've been reported to be brandishing a machete. And I just find it hard to believe that all four officers that were initially there did not see the machete. If they didn't, they're using tunnel vision, just focusing too much on the suspect, not evaluating the environment, in which also is a threat to them. So, you know, it's we're just by the grace of God that this didn't end more tragically.
I agree.
I mean, think about how ugly that could have been. I mean, you could have lopped off a limb. Oh. I mean, that watch the video, folks. That was no joke of a machete. I mean, it was, a great threat to these officers.
Yeah, it could have got a carotid artery, femoral artery. It could have been really bad. So yeah, totally agree. So, and looking at our commentary over on Rumble here, we've got Chili, you know, and Jean wearing in about the health network that had the police working there. She said that, well, actually, Chili said that they actually have a police force, and there's some recently retired officers, I guess, that that work there. So I guess it's their second career, but said that they're not too old to do the job. So I thought that was interesting. And, but I still want to see a picture of the officer that got disarmed, you know, on that one. So,
you know, that's law enforcement work should never be to collect a paycheck. So if you're retiring from your original agency, to go work another job just to increase your money flow and retirement, that's, you may want to rethink that. Because if you were still on par for what's necessary to be an effective law enforcement officer, and probably shouldn't have retired yet. So
I know that. Well, a lot of guys with my agency, they'll go work for the airport, TIA, Tampa International Airport. I mean, I retired after 30 years, and I was 51 years old. But really, and some people are going to chastise me for saying this, but that's time to start hanging it up. I'm sorry, 51. And look, I was the lead fitness instructor, fantastic shape, still am. However, there are certain things with the job. As you get older, you're susceptible to more things. And even though I was way ahead of the curve, I realized that, especially at least by 53, you don't belong in the job. You know, bad guys are always 18 to 21. That never changes, you know. And if you can't do the basic aspects of the job, because you never know when you're going to have to fight a bad guy in whatever capacity you're at, whether you're a plainclothes detective doing late investigation, or whether you're on the street. And we worked off the philosophy that everybody had to be able to do every job at our agency. Even the chief had to come down and take the fitness test every year, you know, from me. And I didn't cut him any slack. I had a reputation for failing people. I mean, of rank that didn't, you know, that just weren't in shape, you know? So, you just in your 50s, it's just, I don't like old cops. I just don't. And especially if they're approaching over after 55 and they're still, or in their 60s, you know, I watch all these shows on TV, and a lot of these are like LAPD guys on these LAPD shows. And, you know, they're like older dudes or senior guys. I'm thinking, I just say like, it just makes no sense to me. But I mean, I know it's the movies, and hopefully that's not what it is in real life. But yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys that I've you know, worked with that are now retired, if they had a desire to continue to work, they took on jobs like as a district attorney investigator.
Okay, yeah.
They would come back and work for the city as a background investigator.
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of things where you can make that extra money if you feel you're too young to, you know, not be working. There's things that you can be doing outside of uniform where, like I've always said, it's not, we don't get paid for what we do on a daily basis. It's what we, God forbid, might have to do. And, you know, as we get older, we have, you know, a lesser ability to perform at the level we used to. So, you know, you can find those jobs are out there that you can parlay the expertise that you got during your 20, 25, 30 year career into doing something else where you're not responding in uniform and have to handle these physical altercations.
You know, Kyle Brandt said, you know, he was, he's listening to what we're talking about, and he thinks that most don't know what they do after they retire. He said that 10-7 is helping him out with that. So when he says 10-7, it's 10 is spelled out T-E-N, and then the number 7. That is Sheriff Mark Lamb's company that helps officers, you know, guys in law enforcement plan the next stage of their career. He was on the show yesterday, and great guy, retired recently from Pinal County in Arizona. And Deputy Frank Slope, who Fridays with Frank on YouTube, that is one of his deputies, or was one of his deputies. And so they have that 10-7. You'll hear more about that. I think that they're going to become a sponsor of the show. So you'll be hearing more about 10-7 and what they're doing for cops and stuff and helping them get involved and telling them how to get involved in businesses and incorporate and limit liability and all this stuff. So it's pretty good. So stay tuned for that. So.
You know, I've always said that if, you know, you're going to put in a 25, 30 year career in law enforcement, especially if you worked for a larger agency where you have all kinds of exposure to all these specializations, you know, you're really missing a great opportunity if you don't make yourself an expert in something. Whether you're a traffic accident reconstruction expert, you can go testify in court on that, or you're a use of force expert and become an expert witness for civil and, you know, criminal cases and that sort of thing. There's unbelievable amount of opportunity.
Yeah. You know, I tried that, Jeff, and I disagree with you because, adult entertainment hasn't really got me a lot of gigs after I retired. So, I have a PI license, and so I always, list organized crime, public corruption, and adult entertainment. You know, that was the big three. But I found out even leaving adult entertainment out of it, organized crime and public corruption. I do agree with you, but you know, I should have, if I wanted to do that, I should have focused on something else. Cause, or if there's organized crime and public corruption going on, it's being investigated by law enforcement. They're not hiring PIs to do that kind of work, you know, but I totally agree with you. You're going to get the training, especially if you're at air service, flying helicopters or planes. Oh, you are gold after you retire. All right, guys, going for our next commercial break. Stick with us here. All right, let's talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. And look, if you have your own agency, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we're joined by former LAPD Commander Jeff Weninger. And don't forget, if you guys want to see us in person, go to the SHOT Show. That's our next big gig coming up in January. I believe it is the... let me get this straight now. I think it's technically the 20th through the 23rd, Tuesday through Friday, I believe, are the official dates. I will be getting there on the 18th, which is Sunday, with Brett Bartlett. And I don't know what day Jeff's going to go yet. I'm trying to get him there early so we can, you know, do some shooting and stuff. That Monday is going to be a shoot day, and we're going to have access to some pretty cool arms. So anyhow, hopefully we get Jeff there early. And yeah, I will I will be shooting some video. And actually, Jeff's going to shoot video of me because I'm going to get the glove applied. I think that's going to have to go down in January. So, and maybe it'll be Jeff that applies the glove, you know, and maybe he'll.
No one's going to recognize your voice after that, Jeff.
Dude, you're so right. All right. I can't wait. All right. So are you ready to go on to the next story with the video component? We're ready. All right. So our next one, guys. Oh, LAPD. What are the odds? All right. So rumble.com. This is our favorite law enforcement video channel. LAPD officer, where Jeff is from. He shoots an armed suspect who points a gun at an officer. But this happens during a foot chase.
We're making a backup for these officers. He's not going to comply. Southbound Corbin towards Prairie on the east side. Still right in the skateboard.
Not the ground! Spread your feet!
Put your arms out to the side!
And so, you know, I remember the first show we did where we had a foot chase and Jeff was saying, hey, you know, we don't go solo on foot chases, and he explains why. And so listen to this. So the incident, it was caught many different ways, but we have a cell phone camera and it happens about 7:45 in the evening. So officers for the Los Angeles Police Department respond to reports of an armed guy. His name is Romario Arrieta. He's only 28. They're seen in the footage obtained by KTLA, and they're chasing the suspect on foot through the parking lot of a strip mall. And so they're outside of a Korean barbecue restaurant, and which sounds kind of interesting. One of the officers is seen opening fire as this guy is running for cover. But he's between parked vehicles in this parking lot, and he's running towards the rear of the restaurant. And so I know initially there was a male officer driving, and I believe the female officer on the passenger seat that had bailed out chasing this guy. And so the officer fires it says that one of the officers is seen opening fire as the guy's running for cover between parked cars at the rear of the restaurant. And then the officer fires two more shots at the suspect. And they say it was unclear if the suspect was struck by police gunfire or what condition he was in when he was taken to the hospital. But I'm telling you, he was hit. And that was pretty clear from watching the video. And going to my show notes, and I've got quite a few, are bad guys on a skateboard. And when the cops are chasing, they're responding to the reports of an armed guy. And there's air service in the sky. I tell you, I'm so impressed by it. It's nice to have resources. So LAPD's got resources, but they use the resources. So they're not, you know, I got the impression that they're doing patrols with air service, which is so important. You don't want it sitting in the hangar and then you have to call, hey, get air service up, you know, and it's going to be like 15 minute response time. Right. So they're already there. So they hear the call go out, air service there. You got a bad guy that's mobile, but he's on a skateboard, but he's still mobile. And they're trying to corral this guy. He finally goes over a curb. I don't know if he intentionally got off the skateboard or not, but the cop car pulls right up there in the grill, and he puts his hand on the front of the car. I mean, he actually touches the cop car, and then he leaves the skateboard and he books on foot. You got a male driver, female passenger. They bail out of the car, and now they're chasing the bad guy. And so it didn't really become extremely clear at first, at least, but you hear three shots fired from police beginning after the suspect points his gun at the pursuing police. And that's not really... I couldn't pick up on that until I saw the slow motion still shot of that, where it was really, really clear. And so they do a freeze frame and a zoom at that. And then it shows what appears to be the female officer chasing the suspect while shots are being fired. She's got a radio in her left hand. Shots are going off. She's chasing the bad guy, and her right hand's empty. I'm just telling you what I noticed. And then the male officer finally catches up to the bad guy. And when that happens, they turn a corner, they're in the back of a building. Bad guy throws the gun down. He gives up and he gets down on the ground. And our male officer's giving commands. But then you have the two female officers that show up. And one of them sounded like a 12-year-old boy going through puberty with a voice crack. And they were jacked up. Obviously, you know, you had way too many people giving commands, and it was just, it was hard for me to take the female officer, at least one of them, seriously, with her voice like crackling and stuff. She was, you know, and she was pushing the limits of the vocal range, and then you know, he was shot by police. I believe they even said that at the end of the video and stuff. It looked like he survived. They take him to the hospital, and the story's over. Jeff Weininger.
Yeah, so this is an incident of the performance of the officers isn't quite at the level of the training and the standards that would be applied in the adjudication of this case.
Maybe they should apply for Mercy Hospital.
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, the reason they were there is because this guy was reported to have a firearm and he's on the scooter. So when they drive up to him, he actually makes contact with his hands on the hood of the car. If this guy was intent on killing a cop and didn't care if he lived or died, he perhaps probably would have a dead cop because the car is a coffin. And he could have drawn that weapon, and those windows are going to be down because officers drive around with their windows down so they can hear things. And it would have been ugly. You know, we had Mario Navidad back in the 90s when I worked Wilshire Division there. He was shot and killed in a similar type circumstance where he was flagged down. He and his partner were flagged down by a employee at a 7-Eleven who had stolen a case of beer, and he was walking down an alley. And then when they went to go detain him, they pulled up just like they did here. But the guy drew a gun and started approaching the passenger side, and Mario was struck, went underneath. He was hit in the armpit and went across, took out his heart and killed him just before Christmas. It was 1996, I believe. So that's those were the thoughts that I was having when I saw this. I've talked about how we train. If you reasonably believe someone to be armed with a firearm, we don't go in foot pursuit for the purposes of apprehension. We move from cover to cover for containment, and then you have the resources of canine where you can set up your containment or a perimeter, whatever your organization calls them, and then you do a methodical, systematic search with a canine to find the suspect.
And you had air service.
Yeah, but yeah. You know, we didn't see that. You know, so the officer is directly behind them. When he fired, it's a justified shooting. Hands down, it's a justified shooting. But you know, he wasn't the tactic of moving from cover to cover wasn't utilized. And I had a little bit of a concern with the passenger officer. The longer this pursuit went on, the more likely we were going to see a out of policy separation of the officers, because the secondary officer wasn't really keeping up or didn't really seem to be dialed in, because like you said, wasn't addressing the potential threat that the suspect posed by not being drawn and, you know, those sorts of things. So that was concerning. I was a little disappointed as well when they were taking him into custody. You had officers with absolutely no cover yelling for this suspect to do what they wanted him to do and to comply so they could take him into custody. However, if he chose not to comply and reach for that gun, your failure to have some type of cover has created the circumstance where you're going to have another shooting here. So there is a lot to be desired, and I'm sure with the administrative oversight with this case that there's going to be, they have what's called like a tactical debrief where they're going to be talking about all of these things, because the LAPD doesn't shy away from being critical. They'll be critical, but not to demean you, but to hopefully in the future, if you're confronted with similar circumstances, that you'll identify, one, the things that you did well so you emulate those in the future, but you identify the areas where you can improve upon so you don't make those mistakes again. And I think there's going to be a pretty long list of things that they can improve upon.
One officer giving, the male officer was doing a great job on the commands. And yeah, I just, there were a lot of things that could have been done better. I agree.
But, it was. I was a little embarrassed.
Yeah. And then looking on the video, I saw the female officer, but I saw by the time she got out of the car, and she's the passenger, not even the driver. That male officer who had been driving, man, he was already closing the distance on the bad guy. It was like, yeah, there was a. But we're coming up to. We're running out of time. Another great show, Jeff Weininger. And congratulations on the book coming out, On Thin Ice. And a guy, of course, guys, you can get more information at onthinicebook.com. So make sure you check that out. And thank you to our fan base for watching on the stream and on radio and on podcast. We really appreciate your support. And I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at the woundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. He also has that summit coming up as well this month. And go to the woundedblue.org to get more information. And any final words before I go through our list of sponsors, Jeff?
Just be safe out there.
All right. So, guys, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, and FishOrlandoBass.com. Thanks for the support. We'll look for you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.